Welcome to the message podcast of Werribee Baptist Church, a vibrant church located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
We are only, 3 days from 2025? I am so excited about that because Wednesday morning, when you flip that calendar page, by the way, there used to be paper calendars and you'd hang them on a wall and you'd flip the page. Anyway, when your phone comes up and says it's January 1st, 2025, everything changes. Your dysfunctional family is no longer dysfunctional. Your dream job is now there. It's your dream job. Same job, but it's a dream job. Your spouse, if you're married, is the one you always dreamed about. Right? Your finances are flourishing because you flipped the calendar page. And not only that, you are going to be crushing some major goals in 2025. You are going to exercise more and get fit like me. And you're going to eat. That was a little bit funny. Not that funny. All right? And you're going to get more educated, and all those things are going to happen just because you flip the calendar page, and you're even going to be growing in your faith. Today, we are going to set the course to help you move into 2025 well, and we're starting this series called Unshakable Faith because we know that Wednesday morning when that calendar page changes, it actually doesn't reset all those things that I just told you were going to reset. Yeah. So hate to disappoint you, but if that's what you're expecting Wednesday, get over it now so you won't be disappointed on Wednesday. See, we're in 2025 going to need unshakable faith to endure some difficult times. We're going to need unshakable faith for some exciting, daunting times that God is going to bring us. Those of you who have lived a few years know that that's the way it happens. Things are unexpected. Kids, you're going to need unshakable faith. Heard a lot of you got Legos. Imagine you're building this amazing Lego tower, right? And it's like taller than me and everything. And it is so unshakable that when your sibling comes along and tries to knock it over, it doesn't fall over. And when there's an earthquake outside and the ground starts shaking, your Lego tower stands, right? That's what unshakable means. That's what we're talking about today. And kids, by the way, when we flip that calendar page, you know what's going to happen for you, right? Your room's going to clean itself up and your homework's going to disappear and you're not going to have to eat veggies anymore, right? All those good things. But today, this series might be something you're going to want to go back to a few times through the year because it's going to establish unshakable faith for you. And you need to go to our website, go to our app, go to the YouTube channel, share all those things throughout the year because this is one you're going to want to revisit. As we start taking this journey today, we're going to be looking forward and figuring out how we can have unshakable faith, but we're also going to be looking back over this last year to see some of the things that God has already done here that's going to launch us into the future. Our text for this series is Hebrews chapter 11. Now, Hebrews is a book of the Bible in the New Testament. It was written to Jewish Christians. Christians are Jews who had defected from Judaism, and they were actually being persecuted for doing that by other Jews. Hebrews 11 is a famous chapter in the New Testament. It's often called the Hall of Faith because there's a lot of people in that chapter that had big faith to do big things, and God kind of highlights them in that chapter for us. But before we get to those people, today I want to spend some time talking about what faith is because Hebrews chapter 11 actually starts out with a definition of faith. But before we get to there, you know what comes before Hebrews chapter 11? Did I hear Hebrews chapter 10? Did anybody say that? Okay, yeah. And the whole book of Hebrews leading up to that. Because this isn't a new topic that's just coming out of the blue. Faith isn't. It's actually been all the way through the book. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, it says this: "My righteous ones will live by faith. That's the writer's telling us. God says his righteous people will live by faith. And that's actually a quote from an Old Testament prophet. And he's been telling them, building the case for Christ's sacrifice on the cross in chapter 10, being the foundation for everything, the firm foundation that we just sang about. And he's saying, don't give up on that. Don't look back from that. Don't try to revisit that and decide if that's true or not, because it is, and that's your foundation. And he says, my righteous ones are going to live by faith. We don't want you to lose hope. They needed to know that their faith was grounded in the promises of God. And see, that's our first takeaway. As we launch into the new year and we want unshakable faith, we need to realize that faith is grounded in God's promises. It's not grounded in our ideas or our perspectives. It's grounded in God's promises. Hebrews 11, or chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Now, a few words highlighted there. Reality means substance. It's the basis for our understanding of something. It's an assurance or a guarantee, if you will. It gives us confidence. It's like the title deed of your house or of your vehicle that you have. Then the word hope. Hope is a confident expectation. It's not a wish. It's not, oh, I wish this were true. It's, I am confident and I expect this to happen. That's what the word hope there means. And evidence is a word that's taken, actually, it's a legal term, and it's the proof. It's the proof to convict someone of what they're being charged with. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about faith. It's like a contract on your house or car. You know the deal's done even before you take possession of it, if you bought those things. There's a guy in the Old Testament. His name was Nehemiah, and he's not in the Hall of Faith. But I get to preach this sermon, so I decided to talk about him a little bit anyway, because he was a guy that actually exemplifies this, that faith is grounded in God's promises. Nehemiah chapter 1, if we're reading that, it says that Nehemiah is in the king's palace. He's serving the king. He was the king's cupbearer. That means he tasted the wine and tested it to make sure it wasn't poison. So the longevity for his job may not have been that great. But he was there. He's a Jew. And he heard from his brother. His brother came to visit, and he said, hey, how are things going back in Jerusalem? His brother said, not so well, Nehemiah. The city's burned down, the walls are burned down, and the rebuild is not going well at all. See, the Jews have been in captivity. They've been released and went back to their city, but the rebuild was not going well at all. So Nehemiah, the scripture tells us that he started crying. Now, when I first read that, it says he's crying, and I think, kids, it's like when you throw a tantrum, right? It's like, the walls aren't being built and everything. I'm not getting my way. I want the walls being built. You know, that kind of thing, right? It's not that, kids. It says that he wept. He was heartbroken. And it says that he mourned and he fasted and he prayed for a number of days, because it was breaking his heart to hear this. And so then he says he prayed, and his prayer was filled with many things. He's asking God to listen, and he's also confessing sin, his own sins, and his family's sins, and his people's sins. And he's saying, hey, God, we know we've messed up, but I want you to look at a few key phrases in his prayer. He says this, oh, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God. Now, that's a good way to start when you're talking to God and you're wanting him to do something. He says, who keeps his covenant of unfailing love. Look at that. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, God, you're the great and awesome God who keeps your promises. Remember that. I'm talking to you, and I know who you are. Then he says in verse 8, remember what you told your servant Moses. Okay, God, you're the God who keeps your promises. I want to go back here. Remember what you told Moses. I will bring you back to the place I've chosen for my name to be honored. Look at that prayer. He's heartbroken. He's fasting. He's praying. And he's saying, hey, God, I remember some things. I remember some promises that you made, that you put yourself on the hook for. You said you were going to do this. So now I'm asking you, God, to actually do it. I'm asking you to come through. He's boldly claiming these promises. So what we see here in Nehemiah's prayer, Nehemiah was praying. His prayer was coming from a place of pain and hurt, but he leaned into God's promises and found hope. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I'm actually hurting and there's pain. Anybody ever, right? All of us, right? Online, say, hey, yeah, I feel pain sometimes. I feel hurt sometimes. What if when you're feeling pain, what if you're when you're feeling the hurt, you leaned into God's promises and found hope? Friends, if that's the only thing you take away this today for this year, when you're feeling pain, when you're feeling hurt, lean on God's promises and find hope. That's what Nehemiah did. You see, faith puts trust in things that we cannot see. That's what faith is doing here. That's what Nehemiah is doing. And we do this all the time. I just did it. I took a drink of water. And I have confidence, I have faith that that water came from a reliable source. I didn't put this water up here this morning. So I'm trusting where it came from. I am trusting the person that put it up here, that they didn't spit in it, that they didn't go get the water out of the toilet or anything like that. Now, not trying to give the stage managers ideas here. But we do this all the time. We put faith and trust in a lot of things that we really don't know that much about, don't we? We do this regularly every single day of our lives. We trust things that are far, far less reliable than God. You know, as I think about and reflect over this year, trusting God. Years ago, God gave us a vision for this place, that it was going to be a church that not only was full here and had was reaching a lot of people here in this community, but that had campuses. Because we don't necessarily want to build 3,000 or 4,000 seat auditoriums in the middle of Werribee and make people drive 45 minutes or an hour to get here. We thought we'll have campuses one day. That was not on our radar when we started 2024. But God had given us this vision years ago. And then in April of this year, I got a phone call that said, hey, we need to meet and have a chat. This is someone from the Baptist Union. And when the Baptist Union calls and says, we need to have a chat, you wonder, okay, what are my people saying about me? But anyway, so I had the meeting, and they said, hey, this church in Bacchus Marsh would like for you guys to consider making them a campus of you. They're struggling, and they're looking to you guys to see if you might have the resources to do this. And the whole resources thing is like, no, we don't have the resources to do this. We're barely scraping by here. We can barely get enough volunteers ourselves. Well, have you seen our budget? No way. We can't do this. But I said, but I'll go have a meeting. And long story short, most of you already know, or if you're visiting with us today, that you're getting caught up. We said yes. We prayed about it, and we said we believe that this is like Paul's Macedonian call with the man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us. And that's what we believed we were hearing from God. You see, God gave us a vision years ago, and it wasn't on our radar this year to do it, but it was on God's radar for it to happen. So we leaned into what he had already said to us as a church. You're going to be a church that has campuses, and now is the time that you're going to do that. So we acted on that. See, when God makes a promise, as daunting as it might look and as difficult as it might seem to carry out, we can have confidence in the promises that he's made. Now, some of you could care less about the fact that we started a campus or we adopted a campus in Bacchus Marsh, but I want to make this personal for you, not the Bacchus Marsh part, but God's promises. I want you to consider all of these promises that God makes for you, and as you're looking at those words, I want you to see if one of those words resonates with you while I read some things straight from Scripture to you. Like, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. God is our refuge and strength. I will never leave you or forsake you. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. My God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear all of those promises? Now, those were from the beginning to the end of Scripture. There's a lot of different scriptures cobbled together there for you to hear that, for you to hear about God's peace and provision, his presence, his strength, his forgiveness, guidance, help, the eternal kingdom, faithfulness, victory, protection, on and on. We could go forever. That's quite the list, isn't it, friends? I want you to think about God's promises to you, how God makes them personal to you. Because, friends, when we're leaning into God's promises, we know that God's promises aren't just guesses. They're not just hopes of. They are guarantees. When God promises something, it will happen. Do one of those words resonate with you? Maybe one of those words that we just had on the screen is your word for this year. My word for the year is unshakable, because we're going to need to be unshakable. That's why we're starting this series, Unshakable. But God's promises aren't just guesses. They're guarantees, so we need to lean in to his promises. Then going back to Hebrews 11, let's look at these people that we're talking about. After we've defined faith, it says, through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. What we learn here is that faith is not passive. It says they earned a good reputation. Faith isn't passive. It compels us to act. See, they were credible witnesses because they lived it out. They didn't just say they believed. Their actions showed that they believed, showed that they had faith. Faith is active. It moves us in the direction that God has already set in motion. Going back to Nehemiah's story, Nehemiah didn't just cry like a baby, and he didn't just pray. He actually acted. He approached the king. His name was Artaxerxes, and he went to Artaxerxes, and he's risking his job. He's even risking his life because he's going to the king, and he's a little bit sad as he's going to the king because he's kind of depressed about the situation, and he's asking Artaxerxes for permission and resources to go and help rebuild. He's like, hey, my countrymen aren't getting the job done. They need a leader. I'm going to go, but that's a whole nother story. But look what he says as he's talking to the king in Nehemiah chapter 2. The king asked me, why are you looking so sad? You don't look too sick to me. You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled. Nehemiah tells us this. He says, then I was terrified. But I replied. And then he asked him for the resources and all those things. You know, friends, when we act on faith, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be moments of fear. Nehemiah had faith that God was going to answer his promises. He was going to fulfill his promises. But when he's talking to the king and he knows what's on the line here, he knows that it could be his life on the line here. He lets us in on, hey, I'm standing there before the king and I'm going boom, 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 boom. My heart's beating fast because I'm actually pretty scared. And the next things coming out of my mouth could be the end for me, but I'm going to do it anyway. So he replied. Friends, faith is active. Faith gave him the courage to act boldly. Kids, have any of you ever ridden an escalator? You know what an escalator is, right? They're those things that have teeth and everything, and they're like steps, but they're moving, and they're trying to eat you up with the teeth, right? Right? That's what it looks like, isn't it? You know what an escalator is designed to do? It's designed to carry you from one place to another. The big ones at Southern Cross, I don't know if anybody's ever been on those. Those are scary escalators. But anyway, for the escalator to take you from one place to another, what do you have to do? You got to get the courage to step over those teeth, right? You got to get the courage to step on that first step so that it can propel you on up or down to where you're going. That's kind of like what active faith is. It's like the escalator's going to do the job, but I got to step on it to make it happen. You know, that's often where we struggle. When we talk about faith and unshakable faith, I could have got up here today and everybody would go home saying, yeah, we need to have faith this year and it needs to be unshakable and all that. And we like that idea. That's exciting. And we'll actually affirm it. We'll say, hey, that's a good thing for me. I need that in my life. But when it comes to action, we hesitate. When it comes to actually having to step on the escalator, we hesitate. All of a sudden, we get afraid. And you know what we want? We want more details. It's like, okay, God, you want me to do this, but I need a little more information. Okay, I see that, but now I need a little more information. Each step, we want more information. We want more details. We want to be sure that it's all going to work out the way we think it should work out. Friends, as I was contemplating that this week and contemplating the things, places that we are going to end up going in 2025, and it's too much, it's too scary for me to talk about it all right now. But here's what came to me. That faith is frustrated when fear demands facts and figures. Wow, it's quiet all of a sudden. Now, I'm a facts and figures kind of guy, right? So this may have been God just telling me that fear is going to be frustrated, or faith is going to be frustrated when my fear demands faith or facts and figures. Now, this doesn't mean we don't look at facts and figures. We will with all the things we're going to do. But friends, sometimes we need to go back to, I've got faith because God said it. And faith is active and we're going to take the steps. Don't let your faith be frustrated by fear that's asking for facts and figures. You know, this last year, we needed to believe what we couldn't see. And early in the year, this building was filling up, kind of like it is right now. It's exciting to see it like this. And we wrestled with the call, do we go to two services or not? And we were wrestling with it even at the end of last year. And we felt like it was inevitable, but we looked at, this is the resources that are needed for that. This is the ask on the band and the worship team and the tech team and the host team and our kids' men team. We're going to be asking them to do double what they're doing. It's going to take more resources all day long to make that happen. We believed that God was not saying, stop growing, put a sign up that says we're full, you can go away. All right, we could have done that. Wouldn't that be fun? You know, you rock up to church and say, no, we're full today. You can't come in. You know, we believed it was time to act. And honestly, guys, as I reflect on Christmas Day, if you're here Christmas Day, the building's full. This morning, this is one of the lower Sundays of the year because a lot of people are away and on holidays. Guess what? This building today tells me we did the right thing. Because we needed more space so that we can keep growing and people can keep coming to faith. We had to act on what God was doing. See, faith isn't a feeling. It's forward motion. When we had to step out in faith to create the second service, it was forward motion. It was leaning into what God was already doing. Let me ask you, in your personal life, what is God asking you to act on today? What do you need faith to move forward with? Moving on, verse 3 says, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Faith, friends, and this is a big one, is fueled by God's past. Our faith is fueled by God's past. Here, we're tapping into the fact that God created everything out of nothing. Now, the writer of Hebrews did not live in our current day with all the science and all the technology and everything and all the information that we have to figure out how the world came into being. Because we've got that all figured out now, right? Well, yeah, I heard somebody say, right? We know that God did it, okay? And science will hypothesize all these things about how it happened and everything. We're not getting into that. That's a whole series we could talk about for weeks and weeks and weeks. But the reality is God did it out of nothing. Whether it took 6 little days like I believe or whether it took thousands of years or millions of years, you know what? What's important is God did it out of nothing. That's where we have to start. Faith then is fueled by God's past because if God can do that, what can he not do? He can do anything. That's what the writer's trying to emphasize here. As we're going to start looking at all these people in the Hall of Faith, this is what they understood. They understood that God was powerful enough to do that. That bolstered their faith. See, God's faithfulness in the past gives us confidence about his faithfulness in the future. It reframes our challenges to be things that are actually achievable. When we look at Nehemiah's story from a human perspective, he led the rebuilding of the walls in 52 days. They didn't have councils and building permits and all that back then. It seemed humanly impossible for that to happen. And some of the things Nehemiah faced was opposition from enemies. He had very limited resources. He had internal discouragement and attacks from friends. But he saw it from God's perspective. And he knew that God had promised he was going to be active and that God would come through because God had come through in the past. He says this in chapter 2, verse 20, the God of heaven will help us succeed. He had so much confidence because God had been there in the past and God was working. He knew that God would help because God had done it in the past. You know, we need to lean into what God's done in the past. And one way we can do that is by understanding his word, by reading his word. Pastor Deanna talked about the quiet time tool that's out there for you. We need to be in God's word all the time so that we know what God's done in the past, because that will fuel our faith for the present and for the future. Last year, God reshuffled this place a lot. We grew a lot. And he actually reshuffled some pieces of our team, which was not too exciting on the front end of that. It's like, oh, we've got people that are moving to other ministries or moving out of the area and things like that. What are we going to do? God had a plan. God had other people right in our midst ready to step up and take on roles. God provided. He had provided in the past, and he provided this year, and he will provide in the future. What situation do you need to see through God's perspective today? What can you lean into that God's done in the past that will give you faith for what he's doing in your life today? Finally, Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. That teaches us that faith unlocks a powerful future. How many of you want to please God? Anybody? No? All right, one, thanks, brother. You and me, we're going to please God together, right? What can we do for God in 2025? I want you to dream with me for a minute. I would suggest to you we can accomplish a ton. If we pull together our resources, we pull together our energy, and all the people in this room, all the people online, and all the people that are on holiday that come back later, and we all work really hard together, we can accomplish a ton of stuff. However, will that please God? Maybe. I got a maybe. Smart guy there. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're a lot of people, and we're smart, and we could do a lot of stuff. But friends, that's going to fall short of pleasing God if it's not done in faith. If it's done, if we do what we can see and what we can do and what we can accomplish on our own with our own smarts and our own effort and our own ingenuity, God's not going to be pleased with that. He's not going to say, well done. He's going to say, if you'd only had faith, you could have done so much more. I had so much more planned for you. Nehemiah's faith didn't stop with rebuilding the walls. He led reforms. He restored worship. He reestablished God's law. His faith wasn't just about construction. It was about transformation in people's lives. This year, we took some faith steps. We've responded to God's leading and how God was pleased to grow our church. But we can't rest on those. Honestly, some of those steps we took were just baby steps for what the future holds. Friends, the faith that we had to start the things we did this year, we're going to need way more faith. And actually, I'm not even going to say that. This series, actually, the first title of it was Big Faith. But you know what? It's not about big faith, because Jesus said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can move mountains. So it's not about big faith. It's about unshakable faith. It's about faith that says, when the finances don't make sense, I'm still trusting God to provide because God said do this. It's saying when the resources aren't there, when we don't have enough volunteers or we don't have enough space or we don't have the facilities or we don't have whatever you want to fill in the blank, it's saying, but God said, so we're going to do it anyway. Those things aren't going to shake our faith. When people say, you shouldn't be doing that, that's too much, that costs too much, or that's going to be to stretch our resources, that's going to make us tired. I'm leading the pack with that one. Going to say, hey, God said it, so we're still going to do it. We don't know how. God, you're going to have to give us the strength. God, you're going to have to do what you did in the past, in the future, because we know we can trust you. See, faith doesn't play it safe. Faith steps into the impossible. Friends, I want you to be thinking about the impossible, because as soon as you think about it, guess what? It becomes possible, and it becomes less than you can imagine or think, and God says he can do more than we ever imagined or thought. Can you tell I'm a little excited about this whole faith thing and what God might want to do? So what? So what do we do? Well, we stand today at the end of a year where God has been gracious and generous to us. A few of the things that we've seen happen this year, we've seen attendance grow by 38%. We have over 60 confirmed professions of faith, people that trusted Jesus for the first time. We've baptized about 20 people. We got over 280 people volunteering in this place regularly. We see life groups caring for each other. We see lives being changed. We see marriages being restored. We see people having spiritual victories in their life. We have two new pastors this year that didn't start the year with us as pastors. We have resourcing that happens through our quiet times and through our library, all these things that are new and improved this year. We adopted a campus. We went to two services, and we became Catalyst Baptist Church this year, by the way. Do you remember that? Is that exciting? It's been a big year. Praise God for the unity that we've had through much change. And can I say thank you? I'm praising God, but I'm thanking you. Because without that, it would have been a lot more difficult to allow God to do these things in our midst. And we stand now at the precipice of a new year, a year that's certainly going to build on the steps we've taken this past year. But as we step into this year, we can see a lot of what's going to be happening. But you know what I'm curious about? The unknown opportunities. The surprises that God has for us, because every year there are new things that we didn't plan for. We're going to need faith. We're going to need unshakable faith to move forward. Nehemiah's story reminds us of that truth, that our faith for the future has got to be grounded in the unshakable foundation of God's past faithfulness and his promises to the future. As a church, it's a pivotal moment, and we've seen God's hand of blessing on us this past year. He's met needs. He's opened doors. He's transformed lives, but it's not over, because God is calling us to do things that are going to require us to trust him like never before. So I'm going to challenge you and encourage you to look at Nehemiah's example, and we're going to pray bold prayers, trusting in God's promises, because God's promises aren't guesses, they're guarantees. We're going to take bold steps moving forward in faith, because faith isn't a feeling, it's forward motion. We're going to see bold results because of who God is, not because of who we are, and because faith doesn't play it safe. Faith steps into the impossible. See, faith is not about what you can see in front of you. That's actually the antithesis of faith. It's about who stands behind you. Nehemiah understood that. All the other people we're going to look at in this hall of faith understood that. It's about who stands behind you, not what you can see in front of you. So will you trust God with me to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or think? The God who rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem is the same God who will rebuild lives, rebuild families and communities through us. Let's move forward together, grounded and his faithfulness and propelled by an unshakable faith for the future. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for a rich history that you have gone through with us as a church. Lord, more than just this last year, you've done this for 55 plus years. You've grown this thing, this community of faith. Thank you for that. And Lord, as we look at your past and your faithfulness, we can have confidence in what you want us to do next year. But Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help our fear not to stop us from doing what you want to do. Lord, we can't hold you back. We can't stop you. But Lord, we do want to be included and be a part of what you want to do. So Lord, give us courage. Give us faith, an unshakable faith. Trusting you, depending on you as we step into this new year. In Jesus' name, amen.